Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Death Defeated, from the series Stronger, and reveals three things that Christians need to be in light of the coming return of Christ. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
On November 2nd of 2016, close to midnight Mountain Standard Time, something happened I didn't think I'd ever see in my lifetime. The Chicago Cubs won the World Series. Right? And the very next day in the paper, it says Cubs win the World Series. Now, for anybody that grew up as a Cubs fan, you know that we waited 108 years. I'd waited my entire life to see something like that. So I kind of hoped that it would happen, but didn't know if it ever really would. And the more that I lived, the more I thought, man, this is never, ever going to happen. So when it did and it was realized, I was excited as I'd ever been. But I want to tell you something. There's a headline that's coming someday that you're all going to be aware of, and it's going to say this, Death Defeated. And while you may not care about the Chicago Cubs, and that's fine, you want to know about this headline, and you want to be prepared for it. Because God wrote his word to us to let us know that Jesus Christ is alive. He's alive as he's ever been. And as Paul's been taking us through 1 Corinthians 15, he's been highlighting that over and over again. And he's going to culminate all that by showing us how death is ultimately defeated and how we can yearn and look forward to that day. So if you'd open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50, we're going to finish the chapter this morning. And as we go through this, I'll read these verses and then we're going to take a look at three things that Christians need to be because of this coming headline of death being defeated. And here's what Paul says about the resurrection. So now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Now, in this text, Paul's going to highlight three things that Christians need to be because of this coming headline. And for the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've been talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and all that that's entailed. And Paul is culminating this understanding by saying this. First and foremost, Christians are called to be and need to be expectant because Christ's soon return will certainly transform our bodies. We need to live expectant. We need to be expectant because Christ's soon return will transform our bodies. He says, now I say this, brethren, or brothers and sisters, here's what he says, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. We spent all last week talking about this very fact. Paul is culminating all this. We took a look last week at how we put different seeds into the ground and how there's a continuation of the seed, but it's different than the actual seed. And we took a look at our bodies and how there will be a resurrection of the body. The body that you're currently in will be resurrected and be part of your glorious resurrection body. That's what we spent all last week talking about. And Paul is saying this, there's a necessity for it because in the coming kingdom, flesh and blood, our current bodies cannot inherit what God has for us. This perishable body cannot inherit what is coming. We need an imperishable perishable body. We need a body that will last and stand the test of time. And so that's what he's talking about. There's coming a day where everybody's body will be resurrected. Some for eternal life with Christ and some for eternal judgment apart from Christ. But there is a resurrection of the body because the eternality that is coming requires an eternal body to accommodate what you're going to enjoy or endure as a result. Now, let me just say a couple things about this passage. When it comes to talking about what it's going to be like at the end, I think it's really important that we talk about what Christians agree upon because we agree upon a lot more than we disagree on. And because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most glorious event in our future, we need to align on what we agree on. So I wrote down seven things this week as I was studying that I believe all Christians believe, and this is what's coming, so we can all agree on that. One is the full bodily, physical return of Jesus. Jesus Christ is coming back in all of his glory. When Jesus ascended into heaven after his resurrection, two angels were there and they were looking down on the apostles who were standing there gazing up into heaven and say, "Men of Galilee, why do you look into heaven? This Jesus who left will come back in the same way in which you saw him go." All Christians believe, the Bible spells out in no uncertain terms, Jesus will return fully, bodily, and physically in a glorious body. He's coming, okay? Jesus Christ is coming. Second thing is, all Christians believe in the judgment of unbelievers. The judgment of unbelievers, okay? So when Jesus Christ comes back, okay, when he returns, those who have not placed their faith and trust in Christ will be judged by God. Okay, you don't get a second chance after Jesus Christ gets here. There is no purgatory. There is no waiting period. There is no soul sleep. Non-believers will be judged by God. Third thing all Christians believe is there's rewards of the saints. Right? There is rewards for the saints. In other words, in terms of how we live for God in this life, there are rewards in heaven. And we don't know exactly what those rewards are. There's differing opinions on what they're going to be or how they're going to be distributed, whether it's greater enjoyment of God or certain tangible rewards, but there are rewards for those who have trusted in Christ. Fourth, all believers believe this. Believers will live with Christ forever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, there will never be a time that you stop living. There will never be a time where you and Jesus are apart. We will always live with God forever, okay? All believers believe this. There's a new heavens and a new earth, okay? The earth as we know it now will be transformed. It'll be a perfect place. There will be a new heavens that will be created. It's a perfect place in a new heavens and a new earth. Sixth, all Christians believe this, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will reign and rule and be worshiped forever. All Christians believe that. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Godhead will reign and rule and will be worshiped forever. And then the best news of all, here's what all Christians believe. There's no more sin and death. When Jesus gets back, there's no more sin and death. There's no more dying. You don't die again. You're alive with Christ forever. That's what all Christians believe. Where we disagree is on one word, chronology. We differ on how it's going to happen and when it's going to happen and what's going to take place first and all this kind of stuff. And it's okay to hold those convictions, but I'm telling you, hold it loosely because here's what I've discovered in 30 years of studying end times events. My opinions flip-flop, change. I see certain scriptures that tend to highlight one thing and certain scriptures that tend to highlight another and godly men and women that believe the inerrancy of the Bible that believe differently. This is where we all agree. And if we agree that he's coming back, this is how we should live. Expectant. We should live expectant for Jesus Christ to come back. Now, one of the things when I think about the word expectant, I think about as a pastor, when I'm standing near a groom and we're about to walk out towards the podium or the platform, and he's about ready to see his wife open the doors and come down the aisle, okay? There's an expectation when I'm talking to that guy before we walk out. Like, "Hey man, are you looking forward to this?" If he says no, which has never happened, we would leave, right? I mean, this, you don't wanna be a groom and be standing there like, "Hope this works out, I'm not really looking forward to it." That's bad, that's just free dating advice, okay? Every groom I've ever talked to is like eagerly expecting, looking forward to, can't wait until the doors fly open and he sees his wife dressed in white, walking down. I mean, there's this excitement, there's this expectation. Or maybe you've seen it with kids. Like I saw a YouTube video recently with a child whose dad had been serving overseas in the military for a year. And the dad showed up at this kid's school. The kid didn't know dad was coming back, but had waited over a year to see his dad. And they have a video of the kid when he recognizes his dad in the cafeteria, and the kid just runs up and embraces his dad. It's hard to watch the video, even not knowing the kids, without having tears in your eyes. Like, you see the love and the expectation for what that's like.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Death Defeated, from the series Stronger, highlighting three things Christians need to be in light of the coming return of Christ. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
Some of you who are parents who send your kids off to college, who in some ways are like, thank goodness, it's time that they go. About Thanksgiving or Christmas time, you will be eagerly expecting and hoping that they will come back and share in the holiday with you. That's the kind of eager expectation we need to have when it comes to Christ. Regardless of what your chronological convictions are, if your chronological conviction is Jesus Christ could come back at any moment, then you know you should live with expectation. If your chronological conviction is probably not today, but could, you still need to live with that expectation. God wants us to live with this earnest expectation that the state that we're in right now is not the ultimate state, that we should be yearning for what's to come. Because if God gave us a glimpse this morning as to what was to come, or took you to the future new earth and new heavens and let you walk around it for 5 minutes, there's not one of us that would want to come back for even a minute for any reason in the world. It's that good what is coming. And he says, earnestly and eagerly await with great expectancy. Because why? Verse 51. Because behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, when you see the word mystery in the Bible, as we've said many times, mystery means something that was not clearly revealed in the Old Testament that we clearly understand now. That which we didn't totally understand that now we can clearly know. And here's the mystery that we didn't understand, but now we clearly know. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Here's what Paul says. There's a time when Jesus Christ comes back, not everybody's going to die. There will be a time when Jesus comes back and there will be people who are alive when he comes back. We will not all sleep, but notice this, we will all be changed. Everybody's gonna change. Everything's gonna change. I mean, whether you want to or not. And let me tell you how quickly this is gonna happen. In the next verse, here's what he says. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, okay? That understanding in the original language is a time frame that's indivisible. It's the smallest amount of time. It's the twitch of an eye. It's a blink. If a nanosecond is a billionth of a second, it's shorter than that. When Jesus Christ comes back, you won't even have time to think. Some of us have this idea, well, maybe if he comes back, I'll call my neighbor and see if I really missed it, or is he coming? Do I see him coming? When Jesus Christ comes, before I could snap my fingers, it'll all be over. I mean, if you're not a believer in Christ and you're like, hey, when I see him descend from the clouds, then I'll quickly repent and get right, you won't have time. It'll happen faster than you can even twitch your eye. When Jesus comes, it's coming that fast, and the world will know, yeah, it's over. Because what happens is, according to 1 Thessalonians 4, the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, those of us who are still alive will be caught up in the air to be with Jesus forever. And how fast is that going to happen? Faster than you can say lickety-split. I mean, we will be in the presence of Christ like that. Or you will be separated from Christ like that. That's a twinkling of an eye. That's the moment that he's talking about. And here's what he says. When's it going to happen? At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. I mean, you'll hear the bugle call or whatever the glory call is of the bugle, and that'll be the last thing you hear on planet Earth before you're in the presence of Jesus Christ. It will be the most glorious moment in the history of the world. The resurrection of Jesus Christ right now is the greatest thing that's ever happened, right? When Jesus Christ returns, it will be the greatest singular moment that's ever taken place in world history. Amen? And here's what he says, earnestly yearn for that. Earnestly yearn for that. For this perishable must put on imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality. Jesus Christ is coming. He says, be ready for this. Be ready for this. Eagerly anticipate this. Now, if you flip back a few weeks ago when I was teaching on this chapter, when we looked at verses 13 through 19, I highlighted the negative things Paul talked about, that if Jesus Christ wasn't raised from the dead, here's some things that we need to know. It goes really bad. In verses 13 through 19 of chapter 15, you can read along. He says, but if there is no resurrection from the dead, not even Christ has been raised, which means Jesus is still dead. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain and your faith is also. So we have a useless faith. Sharing our faith is not important. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise. If in fact, the dead are not raised. So all preachers are liars because Jesus has never been raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our faith is worthless. So you have a worthless faith and you are still in your sins. So you're still a sinner. There's no forgiveness for you whatsoever. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished, which means everybody who's died is either worm food or in hell because there's no hope for eternal life. And if we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men to be pitied. In other words, if your faith in Christ centers only on this, I only believe in Jesus because he promises me a better life now, you're to be pitied more than anybody. That's not the message of the gospel. The message of the gospel is that God loved you so much that in your sin, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in your place for your sin. He took on your sin. He was crucified. He was buried, but he rose from the dead 3 days later and began to offer life to anybody who would confess him as their personal Lord. And by doing that, everything in your life changes. Not only now that you experience God's eternal life inside of you, but forever and ever and ever for what's coming. So I thought it'd be important today when we're talking about this death defeated and the resurrection, if this was put in positive terms, because I believe Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Does anybody out here believe that? About 13 or 14 of you. I said Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Okay, thank you. So if he has, then here's what it means. Number one is this, Christ is validated as God's one and only son. Christ is validated as God's one and only son. There is no other way to God except through Jesus Christ. Jesus rising from the dead demonstrates that, which means this, sharing Christ is of the utmost importance. Sharing your faith in Jesus Christ is not a pointless activity. It's of the utmost importance because Jesus Christ is the only way to get to God. And here's why you can share your faith. Because your faith is sure. It's certain. You can bank on it. The faith that you have is in a living, resurrected Christ. Not in the idea, not in a religion, but in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Which means this for preachers. Preaching the word is the most important messaging on the planet. There's nothing that's better for you to hear in your ears, in your soul, in your will, in your mind, than the word of God being clearly taught. There's nothing more important you can tune into. It's the most important messaging you can hear. Five, let me give you this one. This is a good one. Our sins are completely forgiven. The four of you that heard that, I'm gonna say that one again. Your sins are completely forgiven. It means, Christian, when you come in here today and you're like, yeah, but I knew that when I came to Christ that he forgave all my sins. But since coming to Christ, there's some things in my life I should have known better, or I could have done different, or would have done that. Let me tell you, they're all forgiven. When Christ died on the cross, he didn't pay for some of your sins. If you kept walking with him, he paid for all of your sins. The fact he rose from the dead validated that all your sins are forgiven. Done deal. It also means this. The dead in Christ are certainly alive. Those people that you know who are Christians who have died, you can grieve, but don't grieve for them. They're happy. They're spending time with Jesus right now. And we are not to be pitied more than anybody. Here's the truth of Christians. We should be envied more than anybody else on the planet. I would not trade what I have in Christ for any amount of money or anything this world has to offer. I've found eternal life in Christ, and I will never, ever let go of that. There is nothing that anybody has that I've ever met that I want more than that. That's what it means that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. That's why we can have full confidence to share the gospel. That's why when the world says, shut up, just do that at church, don't talk to me about that, we want to get even louder and demonstrate they need to hear this because Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? And that's what Paul's pointing out. Paul's summarizing by saying, we're all going to be changed. You're either going to be changed in a moment with your resurrection body to be with Christ forever and ever and enjoy the utopia you've always dreamed of, or you will be raised in a resurrection body that will be able to withstand eternal torment apart from Christ forever and ever. But notice this, we will all be changed. We will all be changed. In the coming world, you will not have the current state of your body that you have. That's what Paul has been trying to highlight. And you should live expectantly for that. So here's the question. How expectant are you living? Like, are you yearning for that? Like, do you think about that on a regular basis? Let me make it more clear. How much did you think about it this morning before you got to church? I mean, are you yearning for that? Now, in our church, I'll notice that when some of our gals get pregnant, as their pregnancy continues and you get a gal that's about 9 months pregnant, and I know my wife was like this, and you talking to a gal that's 9 months pregnant, they only have one thing on their mind. Get this baby out of me now. I can't take this anymore. I'm longing to have this baby removed from my midsection. And not just because I want it out of my body. I want to meet this child. That should be the expectation we have when it comes to Jesus Christ. We should be yearning for it. Now, if you don't yearn for that, it's because you're too comfortable in the world that we live. But if you start living for Jesus, and if you start sharing Jesus, and if you start making Jesus primary in your life, this world will not have as much appeal for you as it once did. You will start yearning and say these words, "Come, Lord Jesus." See, some of us go to church and we think it's weird that there's people like that. It's like, oh, they always want the world to end today. What's wrong with them? There's nothing wrong with them. Here's the question. Why don't you want it too? What's in your heart that's keeping you that wants to live here more than meeting Jesus Christ face to face? See, that's the question Paul's trying to point out. We should have expectation and yearn for that. And as I've told you on several occasions, if today was the day that Jesus came back, I wouldn't be sitting there saying, oh, not today. I was really busy and I was really looking forward to kickoff in the football season. And I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say, well, I want to see my kids get married, which I do, but I want Jesus more. I want to be with him more. Live with that kind of expectation. And if you don't have that expectation, here's what you do. Just start living for Jesus more. Start serving him more. And I'll tell you, you'll start yearning for him more. I promise you that. Second thing he tells us to do is this. When it comes to the death being defeated, Christians are called to be thankful. Called to be thankful. Why? Because Christ's victory will forever abolish sin and death. Amen? I mean, we're called to be thankful because his victory will forever abolish sin and death. Notice what he says. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality. In other words, there's coming a day when your perishable body will put on the immortality that you have. There's coming a day, and here's what's going to happen when that day comes. He quotes two different passages. First, he quotes Isaiah 25:8, and then he quotes Hosea 13:14. Here's what he says. What will come about is the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? That's what you're going to say. You know why? Because death has a sting in it. Sting. It hurts. I don't care who you are, when you're around somebody who's dying or you've been to a funeral of someone that's died, whether you know them or not, there's a sting about it.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Death Defeated, showing you three things Christians need to be in light of the coming return of Christ. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.